Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 38, Blue Rescue Team. I am one of your co-hosts, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, a.k.a. Hoffmander, and with me is my co-host and rival trainer, the Codemaster, Cody Martin.
Hey folks, it's good to be back, especially for this special episode.
That's right, this episode is going to be all about Pokemon. We are back to talk about the world of Nintendo, and Pokemon will be our big topic. But before we get into that, let's kick it off with some news. And speaking of Pokemon, there is some big Pokemon news. We touched on it a little bit last week, but now it is totally official. Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon are coming later this year.
That's right, and we don't know yet technically what they could be. I mean, all we saw were logos, right?
There were logos, and there was, you know, like a little bit of concept art, but it flashed by really fast.
Yeah.
You know, it was super, super teasery, and a lot of people were upset. They were expecting more, but they really shouldn't be. I mean, for an announcement that's fairly far out for Pokemon, I really didn't expect anything else than this. You know, maybe there could have been a couple seconds of gameplay or something, but there wasn't. It was just, you know, totally a teaser. And like you said, the book is wide open.
Yeah, I mean, I think they left just enough for us to sort of speculate what's going to happen, you know, how the Sun and Moon...
How are they going to tie into gameplay?
Right, exactly. Yeah, how's the Sun and Moon dynamic going to tie into the gameplay, into the story, that sort of thing?
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, you know, we'll probably see some sort of, crazy... Sun and Moon themed, legendary Pokemon or something along those lines. That seems like sort of a perhaps obvious way to go. I think that could be pretty neat too.
Yeah, I mean, right now, two Pokemon that reflect the Sun and the Moon already exist within the games, which are Lunatone and Solrock, which are both Rock Psychic type Pokemon from Gen 3. So, and funny enough, they actually showed both of those Pokemon in a split-second frame in the new trailer. I mean, I'm wondering if, you know, Solrock and Lunatone, even though they're Gen 3 Pokemon, will have some sort of significant role in this game.
I suppose they could, but there's nothing stopping them from making, you know, some new solar and lunar-themed Pokemon to go with this new one, and that's kind of what I would suspect.
I'm sure that's probably what's going to happen. I just thought it was really interesting in the trailer slash direct slash whatever you want to call it, that they happen to include a frame with those Pokemon in among the gameplay scenes from the old games. So I thought that was interesting. Something else I'm wondering is, I wonder if moonstones and sunstones will play some sort of significant role. I mean, I'm not sure if they would want to return to those evolutionary stones in particular. I mean, maybe there's some other, stone or evolution factor that has to do with the Sun and the Moon. Ultimately, you know, it's the next generation of Pokemon games, so I'm hyped. As I mentioned in our Comfort Games episode, I'm a big Pokemon fan, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely psyched as well. Now, getting away from the Sun and Moon themes for a second, is there anything in particular you'd just like to see in a next-generation Pokemon game?
Something that I didn't realize that I wanted that was announced during the Direct, sort of returning back to Sun and Moon, was the Pokemon Bank feature with Red, Blue, and Yellow. That was something I really didn't expect, but something that it was something I didn't know I wanted until they announced it. Because, I mean, that was something that I had wanted back in the Game Boy game, when they were on Game Boy. That was something I was really bummed about when they moved over to Game Boy Advance cartridges in third gen, that I couldn't take my Red and Blue and Yellow and then Gold, Silver, and Crystal Pokemon over. So I think, obviously you can get all those Pokemon now through the other games, but I think it's really cool that they're doing the whole bank transfer with Red, Blue, and Yellow to Pokemon Sun and Moon. And I'm Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious how that's going to work.
Personally, and this is something that you know, I touched on last week when you weren't here, is that you know, I just love to see the games go, you know, full 3D on 3DS, because, you know, the last few haven't really done that. It's been pretty sparse with the 3D. And, you know, I kind of understand why, because there's a lot of, you know, changing camera angles and things like that that can make it a little tricky. But, you know, I'd like to see them, you know, try to get it figured out and just have this game in glorious 3D, because I think that's something that is notably missing from the most recent releases. You know, as we were talking about last week, if, you know, games like Yo-Kai Watch can do it, then, you know, Pokemon really should be able to do it. And I think that would be a pretty cool enhancement to bring to the table. But beyond that, you know, I don't really have any expectations. You know, I figure we'll have, you know, tons of new Pokemon. I'm sure they'll find some way to enhance the online features. You know, hopefully more social features. But I don't expect there to be like a, you know, a radical change. Just you know, more of the same good Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna keep with their tried and true formula, no doubt. But yeah, I'm not sure what I would really want from a new generation, but they always seem to manage to slip in something that, you know, I hadn't thought of, and I hope that they do awesome things with the next generation.
And of course, there is also another little bit of Pokemon news I wanted to bring up, and that is that the Celebi distribution has started. If you've got Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, Pokemon X, or Pokemon Y, you can you know, go to the mystery gift screen and you know, get Celebi to join your team. You just go to receive gift, get via internet, and then you can add this. He's a mythical Pokemon, right?
I mean, I guess I don't know what the newfangled terminology these kids use nowadays.
Well, let's just say you can add this mythical Pokemon to your lineup.
Yeah, Celebi was one I never really really looked into much in Gold and Silver, but I mean, Mew, he was the 151st Pokemon, so of course he had all the hype surrounding him. But I mean, I'm excited to get Celebi either way, and this time you don't have to visit a GameStop like you did with Mew, and risk the supply of Mew codes running out. So it's nice that you can just download it from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, I totally missed Mew, and I'm kind of upset about it, but oh well, what you gonna do?
So yeah, Celebi, get it now. Beat your friends up with your new mythical Pokemon. I mean,
got Celebi. It's level 100. I can't control level 100 characters, so it just ignores my commands.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's pretty fantastic.
Celebi is too cool for you, sorry.
Apparently so. Anyway, Pokemon news is always big, but you know what else is big? Are the NX rumors that have been flying around recently. Have you been following those?
Yeah, I saw briefly some posts about it.
Let's run down, you know, sort of in brief, what the most salient of these rumors are. You know, I think at the top of the list, there's this, you know, alleged wireless HDMI dongle functionality that will, you know, basically turn, you know, a handheld game machine, you know, projected to the TV, you know, via an HDMI dongle that you plug into your TV's HDMI port. So that could be this whole, you know, it's a handheld and it's a console hybrid thing. That, you know, could be how it comes into play. Another part of the rumor is that the analog controls will have haptic feedback, so it'll, like, sort of, you know, push back a little bit, perhaps, if you're taking, you know, some sort of actions.
Yeah, the haptic feedback stuff actually particularly interests me, sorry to interrupt, but instead of the, you know, controller spooling up to rumble, essentially, it'll, I mean, from what I understand about haptic feedback technology, you'll be able to actually feel like you're doing the action in the control. I mean, it's different, it's hard to explain, but yeah, there's some sort of pulse that more closely matches whatever task you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, it's supposed to be more tied directly to your actions. You know, you get the feedback directly from, you know, pressing a button or pressing a direction on the joystick, something like that.
Also, Nintendo would be the very first party to utilize haptic feedback in their controllers.
Well, given their history and that they were the first ones to, you know, have Rumble in there with a Rumble Pack, you know, this wouldn't be too weird at all.
That's true. So I think it's cool and fitting that Nintendo is stepping it up.
Quickly continuing down the list. The rumor says that the NX is going to be comparable to the Xbox One in power.
I really hope that's not true.
And it's going to have architecture allowing for easy porting. And they're also saying it's going to have a heavy emphasis on Bluetooth connectivity, so it can connect to all kinds of, you know, smart devices and other things. And it's going to have a heavy emphasis on social features. So, any of that especially stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, as we mentioned earlier, I'm definitely interested in the haptic feedback stuff. Something else that particularly, maybe not interested me so much, but concerned me was that the system would be Xbox, or comparable to the Xbox One hardware. Yeah. And
yeah, I hope that's not true, because, I mean, you know, the PS4 is already more powerful than the Xbox One. And you don't want to be coming in at, you know, second or even third place, you know, this late into the game. So I certainly hope that is wrong and it's, you know, more powerful than Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, considering that Nintendo's new console is going to be essentially a, you know, a...
Yeah, it's showing up mid-generation.
If it's releasing at an Xbox One level of power, it's going to ultimately end up in third in terms of processing power. And, you know, again, Nintendo will fall a generation behind in terms of its hardware, which will mark the third time.
Yeah, we do not need them coming in with an underpowered system. That seems kind of, you know, problematic. Although, you know, if it's a handheld system, if that's what we're talking about, you know, the handheld portion, and it's, you know, a handheld machine that's like as powerful as an Xbox One, that could be kind of cool.
Somehow I really doubt it, but yeah, that would be freaking awesome, right?
I mean, this whole thing, you know, seems kind of questionable. The wireless HDMI dongle thing, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what to think about that. Could they really pull that off? Would it really work? That one I'm not sure about. I'd like to think the haptic stuff that we already discussed is true. I'd like to think that the easy porting architecture thing is really true. That seems like something that would be really important for Nintendo to do. And I have no reason to think that the Bluetooth connectivity and social feature emphasis is made up. I mean, given what Nintendo has done so far, especially on the social front with the built-in social features they have now, I totally see them, you know, branching out more in that direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this entire project is clearly very ambitious and forward-thinking of Nintendo, at least from the surface, from what we're getting, you know, from these rumors. I just really hope that Nintendo delivers and just, you know, puts itself back on top. And I think it's really awesome that they're getting into the whole connectivity angle.
Yeah.
Especially because their Wii U, I feel, was sort of them dipping their toes in the pool in terms of, you know, network connectivity. Obviously, they had some of those features in Wii U and with the 3DS.
Well, it didn't really have any Bluetooth connectivity. I mean, that's something that's all new. But given that, you know, we're going to have the first Nintendo-published mobile game coming out later this month, you know, obviously it's, you know, something that they're really interested in right now. And, you know, I'm not, you know, really sure. It's hard for me to conceive of how it's all going to come together. But, you know, it could be something that's really interesting. I suspect it is something they would like to try to do to tie that, you know, the console into your mobile phones and your other devices. So, I'd like to hope and think this is true.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Nintendo putting out their universal account system, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. I'm really glad that Nintendo's taking these steps into the, deeper steps into the online space. But yeah, NX is shaping up to be something really exciting, it sounds like. I'm just really, really looking forward to Nintendo breaking the ice and weighing in on all these rumors through.
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing but rumors so far. It'll be very exciting to see as the official info comes out later this year.
Speaking of these sort of rumors, we heard some rumblings about Nintendo and Disney working together.
Yeah, that is correct. This isn't the first time that we've heard rumors of Nintendo teaming up with Disney to make motion pictures. Those rumors were floating around last year, but they have reemerged once again. Apparently, the info this time came from a Hasbro presentation where they were talking about, you know, what the competition is doing. And somewhere amongst this info, they're like, oh yeah, Disney and Nintendo are teaming up to do stuff. And, you know, maybe they don't know anything special. Maybe it's just because it's well known that Mario is going to appear in the next Wreck-It Ralph movie that this appeared on the info sheet. But at any rate, it's very interesting, and it could lead to some, you know, really cool stuff if it's true. You know, we've talked about it on the show before, and, you know, if there's anyone who should be making animated movies out of Nintendo properties, it is indeed Disney.
Not sure what's going to happen, but I really hope that they make something cool, because obviously they're two very talented companies with similar goals in mind, so whatever they make together has the potential to be really cool.
Yeah, I totally think you're right. Let's go from rumor to something that we know is true, and something that we touched upon the last time that you were on the show. That is the Nintendo Selects. The new Nintendo Selects are now official, those being the new ones for Wii U and 3DS. They are coming out on March 11th, I believe. Do you want to run down the list?
Yeah, so for Wii U, we have Super Mario 3D World, Pikmin 3, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, and NES Remix Pack. And for 3DS, we have Ocarina of Time 3D, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Mario Party Island Tour, and Yoshi's New Island. And then for Wii, which is actually really kind of strange that they're now releasing new Wii titles, even if they are re-releases, but we have Donkey Kong Country Returns and Super Mario All-Stars.
Well, I don't believe those are re-releases, but there's also Super Mario Galaxy 2 and Animal Crossing City Folk, which the last time you were on, you said you thought, you're like, weren't those already released as Greatest or Nintendo Selects? And it turns out, yes, they are, but they're re-releasing them. I guess it's a cheaper price point. Those two, I guess, were previously released. And as far as Super Mario All-Stars goes, you know, we were speculating as to whether or not that would have the bonus content. And I guess we won't know for sure until it's out, but, you know, I was checking out Nintendo's site, and, you know, they did list the new price, so it would be active, you know, on March 11th, but they also still said it would have the bonus content, the CD and the book. I'll believe it when I see it, but that's definitely cool news for people who missed out on it the first time around.
Yeah, and Ocarina of Time 3D, I mean, that one's hard to find now, so it's great that they're finally re-releasing it, so anybody who missed it can pick it up again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved Ocarina of Time, personally. That's my favorite Zelda game of all time. So when I got it the first time around, I 100% completed it. Sadly, I haven't returned to it since then, but I'm going off on a tangent, but basically, get it, because it's awesome.
No, I mean, if you don't have any of these, or you're missing some, I would totally recommend Super Mario 3D World. I would totally recommend Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D. And definitely Super Mario Galaxy 2. And those would be my top three, but, you know, most of these are pretty darn great.
Mario Party Island Tour.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yes, indeed. There's just, one more bit of news I wanted to mention before we went off to the intermission, and that is that Etrian Odyssey 5 for 3DS was officially announced in Japan. It's coming out in August. It's going to have, that crazy, dungeon crawling, hardcore difficulty, mapping stuff going on like in the past games, I would imagine. And there will be 10 character classes, including Fencer, Warlock, Warrior, Shaman, and Necromancer. You have any interest in this one?
I actually cannot say I do. I have never played any of those games.
I have played many of them. It's a bit hard to get into, so I don't totally blame you. Anyway, it's announced for Japan. There's no word on a U.S. release yet, although I would totally expect it. But then again, I said the same thing about Shin Megami Tensei 4 Final, and there is no sign of that. But I'm still crossing my fingers for both of these.
Fair enough.
I think that does it for the news. Let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk all about Pokemon. All right, we are back, and our big topic this week is Pokemon. That is because the global Pokemon 20th anniversary just happened a few days ago. And so, hey, let's talk about this fantastic series, one of gaming's biggest franchises, Pokemon.
Absolutely. It's one that I grew up with personally. I started playing when the first games came out.
Yeah, so tell me about that, actually. That's kind of the first thing I'd like to know, is what were your first impressions of the series, and how were you introduced to it?
Well, I mean, my first impressions were when I was 8 or 9 years old. Can't remember but it was somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't remember the first time I saw Pokemon or it made some impression on me. I feel like I saw the first episode of the anime series, and somehow that compelled me, maybe. I just generally remember being very, very into the series. My first game was Red, and my first starter choice, which was Charmander, because Charizard was on the box, right? So gotta get the mascot Pokemon. The marquee Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, so, and I mean, it just really resonated with me. I became totally obsessed with Pokemon and played the heck out of the original games, and eventually played a bunch of the N64 games, including Pokemon Snap and Pokemon Stadium. And yeah, I just have loved the series ever since. And
what was it that attracted you the most? Was it the character designs? Was it the collecting aspect?
I think for me it was the collecting aspect, and the fact that there were so many different Pokemon, and especially when it was all fresh and new, and you know, you didn't know too much about which Pokemon you were going to run into, or, I mean, you always had your favorites, but, you know, there were always Pokemon that you didn't try and you wanted to try them out. And I think another big reason I got into it was because all my friends were into it at the time. So
the peer pressure.
Yeah. But I mean,
hey kid,
honestly,
want a little bit of this Pikachu?
Yeah, exactly. Honestly though, I think that was just an added bonus, to be completely honest, because I really, really enjoyed the RPG aspect of it, although I didn't know that it was technically an RPG at the time.
Yeah, I think it actually introduced a ton of people to RPGs.
Yeah.
Never would have played them otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think it didn't. I had played other RPGs before, but I didn't realize that I was playing an RPG with Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, it made RPGs, like, you know, so super friendly you really didn't think about that that's what kind of game it was.
Exactly. And then, yeah, the added benefit of having friends to play with just sold it for me, because then you could trade with your friends, and you could battle with your friends, and try out different Pokemon teams with your friends, and, I mean,
Did you actually do it? Did you whip out the old Game Link cable and get that all hooked up so you're able to do the trading and fighting?
Goddamn right I did, yeah. That was definitely part of it. I still have a small box that contains my Pokemon Red version, my Game Boy Pocket that I used to play it on. I've got my link cable in there.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm all set, you know, if I wanted to bust it out, but of course now you don't need to with the re-releases, but I, for some reason, Pokemon just stuck with me, and I played through the first generation, and then I played Gold, Silver, and Crystal, I played Gold personally, and that was awesome. And then I sort of gave up on Pokemon for a while.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I didn't play Gen 3 very much. I didn't play Gen 4 really at all, until Heart Gold, because that was a remake of one of my other favorite Pokemon games, Pokemon Gold, obviously.
But going back to, you know, the early impressions that we had, you know, my experience was completely different from yours, because, you know, at that point in time, you know, having an age difference of a few years can make a huge difference. And, like, for me, I was actually already working at a game store when this, phenomenon started to hit. And, you know, I'll be honest, I was actually kind of not the biggest Nintendo fan at that time. You know, I was kind of swayed by PlayStation. That was kind of my thing. And, you know, but I heard about this Pokemon thing coming out. And, of course, you know, I'm working at retail and I see this thing come in. And I'm like, you know what? This thing is going to be huge. It's going to be a huge hit. And, man, I was right. The kid just couldn't get enough of it. You know, the games sold really well, but, man, it was the trading card game that really took off. That was just nuts. You do not know how many people I had to drag and suplex because they were trying to steal Pokemon cards from our store.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Pokemon cards. When I say that, it was actually zero because I did not drag and suplex anybody, unfortunately. But they all deserved it. They deserved it for stealing our Pokemon cards.
Well, yeah, I mean, Pokemon cards were a huge aspect of the Pokemon addiction for me. I didn't play too much of the actual card game, but just collecting those cards, man.
Well, you got to catch them all, man.
Yeah, I mean, that in particular led to some other card addictions later down the line with Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic the Gathering.
Oh, dear.
I mean, those are whole other stories, but and I played those mostly for the game aspects. But Pokemon cards, I mean, wow, right? You're a kid and you get these packs and they've got all your favorite Pokemon in them, and then you get the shiny cards and those are even cooler looking, and oh, your friend has a crazy shiny Charizard and it's the best card ever. I mean, it was
back in 1998, you know, and it was just nuts. Those would sell out, you know, so fast. And the funny thing is that the popularity hasn't really dwindled since then. You know, it's not the crazy phenomenon like it was back then, but allegedly, you know, sales of Pokemon cards are like bigger now than they've ever been. So, you know, it's pretty amazing that it has continued that success. As far as the games go, though, you know, I wasn't sure if it was something I really wanted to get into myself. I did not actually buy Red or Blue out of the gate. I know, I'm horrible. I'm sad to admit it.
Honestly, I don't blame you, though, because if you weren't sort of in a certain age range.
Well, yeah, I mean, it totally was aimed as like, oh, this is a thing for kids.
Exactly, so. Exactly. I mean, it was only later when people found out that, you know, anybody could enjoy it. But
still, I'm a gamer, I completely understand where you came from. So by the time Yellow came out, I was like, okay, well, I've got to try this out, and I've got to see what this is all about. And so I was sure to at least borrow a copy and play it a bit and get into it. And be like, oh, yeah, this is pretty neat. And then by the time you know, Gold and Silver came out, I played those quite a bit. I think it was actually Silver I mostly played through. And somewhere out in the world, you can actually find where I did a review of Pokemon Silver. I'm sure it is terrible. But, yeah, I actually reviewed that one way, way, way back in the day.
Well, they definitely were a great next step in the Pokemon franchise. But I won't get into that because I've got way too much to say on that topic.
Well, what I am curious about is, you know, in your opinion, why do you think it was so successful? And beyond, you know, those initial impressions that you've had, you know, what do you think has been its secret to, you know, being successful 20 long years? What has kept this the series going?
I think it's just that simple gameplay mechanic of being able to capture and harness the power of these incredible monsters. You know, being a kid, you don't have a whole lot of power, right? Well, now you're a kid who has a team of six really cool Pokemon that can shoot, you know, water cannons and zap people and breathe fire, and,
yeah,
and you
sure.
battle them with other kids, and the Pokemon listen to your command, and they're also, you know, Pokemon are your best friends, and there's this whole friendship element to it. So I think that just those sort of aspects of it made it really likable. I mean, kids love pets and animals, and to be able to have animals that battle each other and have all these superpowers, and you can keep them in little Pokeballs, and there's 150 or more to see, you know, and just I think that the idea was on point, the marketing was really on point,
That was.
And just the multi-pronged approach to the Pokemon franchise, you know, mm-hmm. between the games, the cards, the show, and then all the merchandise in between. It was just the perfect...
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say, is I think that was one of the huge secrets to its success, is that it has been one of these multimedia properties, and it's kept up, you know, like every aspect of it throughout the years. They, you know, kept the cartoons going, they kept the games going, they kept the cards going, they kept the toys going, and that has certainly helped to make it last as long as it has.
Yeah, it was the perfect storm, and mm-hmm. that formula has carried them to this day, 20 years later. So.
And I guess it's something that we kind of touched upon last time, you know, we were talking about the comfort games, is that the Pokemon games are also, you know, always very familiar.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about the mainline games, they don't stray too far from that formula. So it's always something that, you know, you can get back into. You know, you might skip a game or two, you might, you know, skip a whole hardware generation, but then when you come back to it, it's like, oh yeah, this is really cool and fun. And, you know, I can just get right back into it, and I loved as much as I used to.
Exactly.
So I think that is also a big part of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell me, though, what would you say is the best Pokemon game, or at least your favorite Pokemon game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question, because if you want to approach it from a gameplay perspective or a... you know, formulaic perspective. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are the definitive Pokemon games because they have all these features and they take, you know, a beloved generation and they just expand upon it. Gen 3, although I didn't play much of it when it came out, I've played it since then, and it's mm-hmm. it's a very beginner-friendly game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just all these extra features, like I just said, but...
So is that what you're going with then?
I mean, from a gameplay standpoint, I would say that that's, I guess, technically the best, you know, if you're a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, my personal favorite would probably be... from a nostalgic standpoint, I'm going to say Red, because that was my first one. But
okay.
Ultimately, I think that my favorite would be Gold version, because...
Gold, huh? Not Heart Gold.
Not Heart Gold, but the original Gold, because when I was... Back in those days when Gold just released, they just did so much to improve on the series formula that it was...
That's true.
It was a pinnacle of my Pokemon addiction. At the time, just, I mean, after just loving and playing the hell out of Pokemon Red, and I also owned Yellow, and I played the heck out of that, and I played Pokemon Stadium, and, you know, just really being absorbed by those helped me to greater appreciate a new generation of Pokemon when that came out that took all these familiar ideas, like you said, that concept of familiarity, and just bettered them. And added even more cool gameplay mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of true with a lot of game series. You know, the first game, you know, it's really, really solid. And then it's like, okay, here's the second game. Now we're really cranking it up. And that can a lot of times be what ends up being, you know, the longtime fan favorite.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I got so into Heart Gold when it came out. That's actually the game that brought me back to Pokemon, to be honest. I loved Red and Yellow. I loved Gold version. I sort of fell off the train when Gen 3 came out, and Gen 4, I just sort of, you know, I phased out of it. I went into that I'm a cool kid, too cool for Pokemon phase, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people get older, that happens.
Yeah, and then I saw Heart Gold, and I was like, oh man, one of my favorite Pokemon games ever is getting a remake. I gotta try this. And I've been rehooked ever since, honestly. So, and I mean, that includes me going back into the Red version and the other games, and, you know, I now own a bunch of different games from all the generations, so.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, personally, you know, I'm a little bit more detached since, you know, as I mentioned, I didn't get introduced to it the same way that you did.
Right.
But I've, you know, dabbled in, you know, many or most of the games over the years. but I don't have a whole lot of emotional attachment. So for me, I'm going to say that my favorite one is X and Y. And I have to confess, I have not actually played the latest ones, Alpha Ruby and Omega Sapphire. So with X and Y being the most recent ones that I've actually played, and the fact that, you know, they keep adding all these new features and it's so much more user-friendly than the old ones, I'm totally going with that one. Yeah. One of the problems I kind of had with the older ones was that they were so grindy.
They were very grindy, especially if you chose a Pokemon like Charmander, where mm-hmm. the first gym is Brock, so you're going to have a heck of a time trying to get past him without any super effective or even really special type moves.
Mm-hmm. But it's so grindy because either you're grinding for experience or you're grinding to find these Pokemon. And of course, back then there was no experience sharing. So, you know, when X came along and suddenly it's like, oh, hey, you got this experience sharing thing, you know, right towards the beginning of the game. It's like, oh, man, this cuts down on the grinding so much. I know in the previous games there were also some experience sharing enhancements, but I felt like in X they increased it substantially and just cut down the time you had to grind. So that's, you know, among many other reasons, you know, why I would say that is a favorite of mine. I also have to confess I never actually finished X, so starting a couple days ago, I went back to it, fired it up, got back in. I'm like, oh man, this is so good. Why did I stop playing? And the answer is because I play way too many games and get easily distracted by new ones.
Also, with X and Y, you get experience now for catching Pokemon, which is mm-hmm. awesome. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's another cool addition that they brought about with that.
Now, as you have just touched on, I am, relatively speaking, you know, kind of a Pokemon neophyte compared to you. So, tell me, Codemaster Cody, what are your tips and tricks that I should learn about to become a Pokemaster?
Well, it's my understanding that you just picked up Pokemon Yellow version, is that correct?
Yes, I finally own Pokemon Yellow thanks to the Virtual Console release.
Good. I was going to say that if you didn't, or if you were still on the fence about which version you wanted to get, I would highly recommend Yellow version, just because it's the definitive version of the three Gen 1 games. It's in color, whereas Red and Blue are not. The sprites are better, and then you also get Charmander, Bulbasaur, and Squirtle, in addition to Pikachu, throughout the adventure. Spoilers, I know. But, among other improvements. So, good to hear you did get Yellow, since you're not super into, or not super nostalgic for the first games. I got Red just because I'm nostalgic, otherwise I would recommend Yellow. So that is my first tip that I would give, I guess. So since you did pick Yellow, there are a couple Yellow-specific tips that I'd like to share with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I was just mentioning how it's a little, when we were discussing how the games are grindy, that before the first gym, if you have Charmander or also Pikachu, it is tough to get past Brock because he uses Rock-type Pokemon, and you don't have mm-hmm. a lot of options for special-type moves that are going to damage them.
That's
but,
why I'm going in there with Pikachu.
Yes. But if you catch a Mankey or a...
Oh, I did. I caught a Mankey.
Good, you caught a Mankey. Or if you, the other option is to catch a Nidoran male and level him up to, I believe it's level 12 or level 10.
I don't know if it was male or female, but I caught a Nidoran.
Yeah, it has to be male. And I believe around level 10 or so, you get Double Kick, which is a fighting type move. And Mankey is a fighting type Pokemon. So rock Pokemon are actually weak to fighting type moves. And Yeah, so Nidoran getting the Double Kick or having a Mankey with a fighting-type move like Karate Chop. I don't remember what Mankey's move type or moveset is.
Okay.
But, if you have one of those Pokemon, it'll make Brock a lot easier in Pokemon Yellow. So.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Level up that Mankey.
What other tips you got for me here?
So another Yellow-specific tip. This is not going to be until about 4 or 5 badges into the game, but in Pokemon Gen 1, there were only 3 Dragon-type Pokemon, Dratini, which evolves into Dragonair, and which evolves into Dragonite. And Dragonite is one of the most powerful Pokemon in the game. He's what you would call, like, a pseudo-legendary Pokemon. And you can catch a Dratini in only one area of the game, which is the Safari Zone in Fuchsia City, which is where you get the fifth badge. And you catch...
Badges?
Yes.
Badges? We don't need no stinking badges! Oh yeah, actually we do in Pokemon, don't we?
Yes, you do.
Okay, sorry about that. Please continue.
Anyway, so you can get a level 15 Dratini by using the... I believe it's the Super Rod in the Safari Zone, or in Yellow version, you can also catch a level 15 Dragonair, which is Dratini's second form. And Dratini doesn't normally evolve until level 30, so getting a level 15 Dragonair is actually really freaking awesome. So I guess just sort of transitioning into general Gen 1 Pokemon tips, the Psychic type is the most powerful type in the game because they have no weaknesses, essentially. They do have the Bug type weakness, but they're... In Gen 1, there is a huge lack of bug-type moves, so if you want to be a cheap arsehole that all your friends are going to hate, be sure to have a team of 6 Alakazams, because they wreck face.
Okay.
A tip relating to that, actually, my counter for that, and the best counter that I've come up with, is to get a Paris and evolve that into Parasect. And Paris and Parasect learn a move that is unique to them in Gen 1 called Spore. And Spore will guaranteed 100% of the time put the enemy to sleep. So with Parasect, I will Spore whatever Psychic type Pokemon it is. Then you use Leech Life from Parasect. And since Parasect is a bug type Pokemon, it does more damage. That's the best method that I can think of to take down Psychic-type Pokemon. So I guess just some other really quick points that I wanted to bring up were, don't use the Rage attack or Focus Energy. Focus Energy literally does nothing thanks to a glitch, and Rage causes you to continuously use Rage forever due to a glitch. So yeah, just don't have your Pokemon learn those moves and don't use them.
Alright, I'll try to keep that in mind.
Blizzard is the strongest ice-type move in the game. You can buy it, I think, from the Celadon department store infinitely. And in Gen 1, it has 90% accuracy instead of the 70% accuracy it has in the rest of the game. So, and Blizzard, by the way, is an ice-type move, which is super effective against dragons, which will come in handy when you fight Lance in the Elite Four. So, Blizzard... good move in Gen 1. But yeah, I mean, those are some of my big tips, I guess. I will be following some of these tips myself, as I am currently Pokeballs deep into Pokemon Red version.
Oh, dear.
And
that sounds uncomfortable.
Yes, it is. Well, actually, it is very comfortable, I will assure you.
Gross. Well, getting back to the Pokemon 20th anniversary celebration, what would you say is the best Pokemon spinoff?
You know, I really enjoyed the Pokemon Stadium games.
Huh, okay.
That was the sort of first foray into 3D battling. So, I mean...
Yeah, it was pretty cool the way you could take your Game Boy carts and actually, you know, plug them into that adapter and let them, you know, bring your favorite characters that you had built up on that system over to the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, going from the black and white 2D sprite games to these fully fledged 3D Pokemon battles, I mean, that was just...
Yeah, I can understand, yeah.
Yeah, that was just the Meowth's meow, for sure. and then Pokemon Snap. I was a huge fan of Pokemon Snap. That was...
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. Snap is totally one of my favorites. And, you know, the cool thing about it is that that was like a game that even if you weren't, you know, super into the other Pokemon games, like, you know, I wasn't back then, I could still pick up Snap and still spend a ton of time and really appreciate it. and just have a blast just taking pictures, you know, regardless of you know, how far he'd gotten in the earlier games.
Yeah, and it sort of showcased another aspect of the Pokemon universe that you hadn't really gotten to explore before that, since Pokemon, or the Pokemon games, were primarily revolved around battling, training your Pokemon, mm-hmm. catching the Pokemon. Instead, you're capturing the Pokemon on film, right? And mm-hmm. you still have Professor Oak and all of his "you were close" glory. So, yeah. It was definitely a cool spin-off game, and I really would love to see a sequel.
Yeah, I know. It seems like, you know, they should totally have one on Wii U with that big old, you know, tablet controller. It seems like such a natural way to use it.
Yeah, and I mean,
yeah, why can you not, you know, be taking pictures with the gamepad like you are in Fatal Frame?
Yeah, I mean, that was what a lot of people asked when the 3DS came out as well, mm-hmm. especially with the whole AR aspect of the 3DS. You know, that it would lend itself really well to Pokemon Snap. So
I guess, I mean, the thing I like about Wii U is that you have the main screen and then you have your secondary screen. So I think it works better than on 3DS. But yeah, I think on either system it could be something you know, really, really cool.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's a shame they haven't done it so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would really like a Pokemon Snap sequel, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think my other favorite Pokemon spinoff is actually a really recent one, and that is Pokemon Picross. I suppose that's just because I like, you know, Picross an awful lot. But that was something I started, you know, playing heavily right when it came out, and it was a great way to, you know, reintroduce me to a lot of the Pokemon characters. And, you know, there are some I'm like, boy, I don't even recognize who this one is. But just, you know, Picross in general I find enjoyable, and matching that with Pokemon is fun as well. Okay, and along those same lines of, you know, best Pokemon aspects, what are your favorite Pokemon, you know, characters, your favorite actual Pokemon?
Well, I really like Nidoking, strangely enough. He's just so... You can get Nidoran really early on in the Gen 1 games and level him up to Nidorino, and then you can get a third evolution Pokemon, like, in Mount Moon with the Moonstone by evolving your Nidorino into Nidoking at level 16. So you get this really crazy powerful Pokemon early on in the game, and he looks really cool and scary. So I think with all of those in mind, Nidoking just naturally became one of my favorite Pokemon.
Okay.
And then I don't really have a specific reason other than that he looks really cool, but Arcanine is one of my favorites as well. And I think Mew is one of my favorites too.
Hmm.
I mean, Mew, he's a legendary Pokemon, woohoo, or mythical now as he's known, but I think Mew is just this, I don't know, he sort of embodies the Pokemon spirit in a way. I don't know if those are my alt, I mean, I have a lot of favorite Pokemon, but, and then Charizard, that's the last one I'll bring up. Charizard, because he's awesome, and he's Charizard.
Yes, he is a pretty cool one. I like that one a lot. I'm also a big fan of Rattata, believe it or not.
Really?
And I always get a habit of trying. I keep trying to like raise up a powerful Rattata army. I would like to one day be a Pokemon villain, where I'm the Rattata king, and I'm just, you know, raising an army of Rattatas in my basement. But unfortunately, they are horribly weak. And I would be defeated quite easily, I believe.
Will your sidekick be named Youngster Joey? And will your Rattata be in the top 10% of all Rattata? Or the top 1% of all Rattata?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, good. Then we're okay.
Yeah, I think when the Poke Walker came out, I kept actually just going out and walking with a Rattata in that thing to try to make him, like, you know, super ridiculously buff and super high level, even though, you know, my character wasn't high enough level to control it, but I was getting these, you know, super high level Rattatas. But then, like, the battery ran out in the thing, and I never went back to it, and I'm not sure I might have lost the leveled up Rattatas forever.
Damn.
Sadness.
Rattata is lost into the nether.
Yeah, so, of course, the reason we're doing this is because, as we mentioned, it's the 20th anniversary. globally. You know, we actually have the 20th anniversary in North America for another couple of years. But still, it's the anniversary, and there's tons of anniversary stuff going on. You know, as we talked about, we just had the Virtual Console re-releases of Red, Blue, and Yellow. We've got Pokemon Go coming out soon. The Great Detective Pikachu game came out in Japan. There were new hardware bundles for the 3DS, for the new 3DS, and over in Europe for the 2DS. You know, Sun and Moon are coming, and then we got Pokken Tournament coming next month as well. You have any thoughts on any of that? What are you most excited about?
I mean, I'm really excited to see what Pokemon Go is all about, and that should be really neat.
We know a lot of what it's about. It's going out, using geo fencing or whatever it's called to kind of find Pokemon in the real world.
Right. I mean, we know what it's about, but I guess I just can't wait to get my hands on it.
Understandable.
I can't wait to see what it's about, as in go out and use it in my day-to-day life and
okay,
that sort of thing. But
I can follow you there.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see how that all plays out.
Hopefully it's as good as everyone's expecting. I know people seem really excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's about as close as we're going to get before there's Pokemon VR to capturing Pokemon in the real world, right? So mm-hmm. So yeah, that'll be cool. And then Pokken Tournament, I'm really stoked for that. So I'm on this fighting game kick. I've been on this fighting game kick recently.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to Pokken Tournament. I've got the new controller pre-ordered. The only thing I'm not stoked about on that front is that the new controller only works with Pokken Tournament. And due to the game's perspective, the game's, the player perspective, you can only have one player using the controller per system. So,
can you explain a little bit about the controller for those who are unaware of it?
Yeah, so the controller, it's based on the arcade games controller, and it sort of looks like a Super Nintendo controller in terms of its base appearance. You can only use it if you're playing in single player mode, or if you are second player in multiplayer mode, due to the game's perspective or camera's perspective. So you fight with your viewing your Pokemon from behind, essentially, rather than the traditional 2D fighting style with games like Street Fighter. So due to that perspective issue, essentially one player uses the controller on the TV, whereas the other player uses the Wii U tablet or Wii U gamepad. So that's unfortunate that you can only do that, but in tournament play you can link up two Wii U systems for local play and use...
Well, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, and you can use the controllers that way. If you had two Wii U consoles and two TVs with a controller on each. So it's...
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it's really awesome that they are considering serious tournament play, especially with the controller's limitations.
Now, what character do you think you're going to gravitate towards?
You know, I'm not sure. I typically like speedy characters, so I could see myself playing with Pikachu or Mewtwo. But I mean, I'm gonna give all the characters a try, and maybe we'll have to revisit that when the game actually comes out.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's all about Libre Pikachu. Man, how can you go wrong with Pikachu in a wrestling mask?
That's true.
And of course, I have no doubt that Sun and Moon are one of the things you're most looking forward to as well for this anniversary celebration. But beyond all that, beyond this year, beyond the anniversary stuff, is there anything that you just have in mind that you want to see them do for Pokemon in the future? You have any thoughts on that sort of thing?
I mean, we talked about a potential Pokemon Snap mm-hmm. sequel. I would love to see something that'd like be great. That. There's a Pokemon fighting game coming out, so I'm really happy that that's a thing. Pokemon Go, I'm happy that's a thing. Mm-hmm. I guess looking forward, it would be really cool to see a Pokemon VR game someday. Whenever and if Nintendo ever gets into that space, it would be so cool.
Well, Nintendo doesn't have to, you know. The Pokemon Company is its own thing, so they could do some sort of VR in, you know, on PC if they wanted to, I think.
Yeah, that's true, but yeah. So I mean, a Pokemon VR adventure, that would just
That'd be pretty crazy.
That would just make my entire life. Let's just say that. Right now. So
I can see that. I think it would for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, stepping into my favorite Pokemon region and going on my own Pokemon adventure, it's like, you know, being really being in the Pokemon universe, that would just yeah, that is something that I would just probably die to play. And I wouldn't be able to play because it'd be dead, but that's just something that would be really cool.
Well, I wasn't actually thinking of anything that crazy myself. I was aiming a little bit lower. And that is just that, you know, one day I would like to see, you know, a full-fledged, mainline, traditional Pokemon game on a console rather than a handheld. That's sort of been something I've been wanting for a long, long time, and I don't really have a lot of hopes it's going to happen, but it's something I would love to see.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely seems to be a common sentiment, so you are most certainly not alone.
Yeah, I mean, the main reason I feel that for making it, you know, handheld was because, well, that way you can do all this, you know, trading and interaction and whatnot with other people a lot easier than you would with a console. But, you know, with the way that online capabilities are these days, I feel like that argument isn't quite as substantial anymore. So, you know, I think it would be worth a shot, and I think it would be pretty fantastic if that ever happened.
Yeah, hey, with the NX featuring all this new connectivity stuff.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It wouldn't be a surprise, but, I mean, okay.
It still would surprise
me. It would be a surprise, but
it'll be neat.
It would be more feasible nowadays, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And along those lines, actually, of connectivity, I would like to see a Pokemon MMO. And I know that's another common sentiment that a lot of people have asked for. You know, being able to play your Pokemon... Okay, let's just go for the stars. Let's just shoot for the stars right now. A Pokemon VR MMO. That would just be the pinnacle of everything Pokemon. All right.
That would be pretty nuts. But yeah, I agree that if any series made sense jumping into MMOs, it would be Pokemon. And, you know, if that was published by Nintendo, that would be a great way to introduce that that genre to Nintendo players. That would make a whole lot of sense, I think. Yep.
I think so too.
Well, I feel like we have covered this Pokemon topic pretty thoroughly, and we're about ready to call this a show. But before we go...
Now hold on there, Hoffmander. I want to share something very special with you and all of our listeners. And that is my favorite quotes from Pokemon Red and Blue versions.
All right, let's go for it.
First, we've got a quote from a sailor on the SS Anne. I like feisty kids like you. And then after you beat him in a battle, he says, "Sea Pokemon live in deep water. You'll need a rod." Next on our list, from everyone's favorite Rattata Master, we've got, "I like shorts. They're comfy and easy to wear." Next on our list, we've got the old man outside the Celadon City Gym, who exclaims to you when you talk to him, "Hehe, this gym is great. It's full of women."
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a quote from a juggler after you beat him in a Pokemon battle. "Drop my balls."
All right.
And finally, one of my favorite quotes is from the Pokemon fan club chairman before he gives you the bicycle voucher. "My favorite Rapidash. It cute, lovely, smart, plus amazing. You think so? Oh yes, it stunning, kindly, love it, hug it when sleeping, warm and cuddly, spectacular, ravishing. Oops, look at the time. I kept you too long. Thanks for hearing me out. I want you to have this." And then he gives you the bike voucher.
Okay, well, those were quite the Pokemon quotes. And with that, I think that wraps up our 20th anniversary Pokemon discussion. But before we call the show, there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Scat.
Ew.
It's the year 2029, and humanity faces certain extinction. An alien force led by the Supreme Commander, Vile Malmort, is positioned to destroy the Earth. The President had little time to act. He assembled the greatest scientists from around the globe to stop this menace. From their laboratory came mankind's last hope, the members of SCAT. The Special Cybernetic Attack Team has one goal, the utter destruction of the alien fleet. They've sent an armada to conquer us. We've sent two warriors from SCAT. It should be a fair fight. Yep, that's correct. The bad guy's name, Vile Malmort. You did not hear that wrong.
Nice. Well, that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow Chris Hoffman on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can follow me at MoldyCarton. Email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you give us a rating on iTunes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Cody Martin, and the Chosen One, Pikachu.
Pikachu!
We will see you next time.
You were close.